August 19th, 1986.
Good morning and welcome to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Today's program will begin in just a moment, but first a reminder that our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. Please confine your remarks to the subject being discussed on this morning's program and be as brief as possible so others may call in too. Now, here's your host for Feedback, Tom Trollson.
And good morning. It's 3 minutes past 10. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of our program and our monthly segment on nutrition. Ted Brewer back with us once again. And we do want to caution you that we're leaving the phone lines closed during the first half of the program so that we can get in the foundational statements of our topic this morning. So we'll be opening up the phone lines after our mid-program break. I want to talk about America's sweet tooth this morning and some of the dangers of high sugar intake. Where do you start in talking about that?
Well, Tom, let me read a statement real quick concerning the last show that I did. Last show, I made a statement that I need to clarify concerning fluoride. After the last show on cancer prevention, a Lakeland pediatrician called me and informed me that the American Medical Association, the American Dentistry Association, Dental Association, and the American Pediatric Association all approve of fluoride up to 1 to 2 parts per million. He was told me that after that, he said that's when dental fluorosis and modeling and all these other things that happen to your teeth occur. So therefore, any statements I make concerning fluoride other than what I've just stated are retracted. If you have any other questions concerning fluoride, either do your own research, there's some good books on the subject, or you can speak to your dentist, pediatrician, or medical doctor.
Okay. Let's move on to sugar intake.
Okay. The one thing that the people aren't aware of in this country is that our general health as a country has really deteriorated in the past 100 years. In fact, one of the latest studies said that we're ranked like 37th in world health now. And that's scary because we can't figure out why a country as powerful and as well-known as this country and a country that spends more money on health care than any other country in the world is so sick. We lead the world in chronic degenerative disease. We lead the world in heart disease. We lead the world in cancer. And we lead the world in diabetes. Many people don't realize that the leading cause of death in children under the age of 12, other than accidents, is cancer.
Hmm.
People don't even realize these things. And so many of these things are now being linked to the diet and stuff that we consume in this country. For instance, back in the early 1900s, virals and germs and infectious disease were what killed people. For instance, smallpox, diphtheria, whooping cough, typhoid, pneumonia, and tuberculosis were the big killers. And, you know, people say, well, they're not around anymore. We've gotten rid of them. Well, the point is, if we've gotten rid of them, why are we still unhealthy? Okay, we've gotten rid of the infectious diseases through immunization primarily. And now you never hear of anybody really coming down with smallpox or whooping cough or typhoid. But now, again, as we've mentioned before, the things that are killing everyone in this country are heart disease, which claimed 1 million people last year, cancer and diabetes. And these are the diseases that you don't wake up with in the morning. These are long-term diseases which progress over a period of time in the human body. And, for instance, you could wake up in the morning with smallpox. You don't wake up in the morning with heart disease. It just doesn't happen. It takes a long-term process to get sick like that. And people just have finally begun to realize that it has to have something to do with the food and how we've been eating it in this country. For instance, back in 1900, we consumed fresh agricultural food. Not anymore. Today, the food that we eat has been milled. It's been heated. The chemicals have been added to it. Lifestyles have changed. You know, how many people, Tom, now eat 3 well-balanced meals a day?
Depends upon what you mean by well-balanced.
Few of us, you know, even eat 3 meals a day. I know a lot of people don't even eat breakfast anymore. They'll go out and, you know, and have maybe a mid-morning snack and then go home and have dinner. And people don't realize how important well-balanced meals are. But you see, the problem with the well-balanced meals thing, and this is, I hear this all the time, is that everybody says, well, all you have to do is you don't have to worry about your diet, just eat 3 well-balanced meals. Well, it's how we define a well-balanced meal. The average American, says that a well-balanced meal consists of 50% total fat in the diet. Well, that's what the average American consumes. Well, that gives us an idea of why the average American is dying with heart disease, or, you know, why there are so many Americans who have heart disease.
Too much fat.
That's right. And, you know, it's amazing to me because in Leviticus, God said, don't eat the blood or the fat. This is an ordinance for you and for all the generations to come. Don't eat the blood, don't eat the fat. And we don't even realize this as Christians. You know, we don't bother to look into God's Word to see what He says. We think, well, that's Old Testament doctrine, and that's not important anymore for salvation, which is true. We're saved by faith through grace through Jesus. But God's wisdom still holds today as it did 2,000, 3,000 years ago.
Where does sugar fit into all of that?
We're getting to that, Tom.
We talked about fat.
Well, we're getting to the processed foods. We eat a lot of fast foods. We eat a lot of foods for taste. The foods that we eat for taste, guess what they're loaded with?
Sugar
and fat and salt. Fast foods are the same thing. We eat a tremendous amount of fast foods. A lot of the fast food restaurants in their burgers, they even put sugar in them. And just to try to sweeten them up to make them taste better. Convenience foods, they're loaded with sugar. The other day I went to one of the local chain stores, one of these little side-of-the-road stores, and a man came out, and he ordered this huge drink. It was like 46 ounces, and it was a drink. It wasn't a diet drink. It was just a regular, Coca-Cola or beverage, whatever you want to call it. And I told him, he's standing at the counter. This is why my wife doesn't like to go into stores with me, by the way, because she was out in the car. And I looked at him, and I said, "Sir, do you realize that there's over 40 teaspoons of sugar in that beverage?" And he goes, "Wow," I said, "I didn't realize that." He goes, "Are you sure about that?" And I said, "Yeah, most drinks like that have 10 to 12 teaspoons of, per 12 ounces." And I said, "You've really loaded yourself up with sugar." And I said, "Do you realize what's going to happen to your system?" He said, "Well, boy, I'm going to really get a buzz going, aren't I?" I said, "Yeah, you will for a little while. And then, the insulin will take over." And I said, "But," he goes, "well, I just thought about something. If there's that much sugar in this drink, how that makes sense, because everybody in this country is getting diabetes." And I said, "How about that?" The American Diabetes Association last year, and it was announced by the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather, Tom, they said that 100% of the population in America will have symptoms of or be diabetic by the year 2000 if the current trend doesn't change. And you see, these statistics are frightening, because we've got to realize that, hey, all these sugar recipes, they may taste good, but the sugar is a devitalized nutrient. There's no nutrients left in it. All the B vitamins are taken out. It's just an empty, straight carbohydrate with no nutritive value at all. And it's unhealthy to eat it in the kind of dosages we do. Average American consumes 67 teaspoons of sugar a day.
There are some obvious places where we're getting too much sugar. What about some of the less obvious places that some of the foods that there is sugar that we may not be aware of?
Well, it's amazing to me because, the American people are finally beginning to wake up, and they're finally beginning to realize that, hey, we are what we eat, and we are only as healthy as the diet is that we consume. And, this is the whole purpose of NCS Nutrition Ministries, of which we're part of, is that, people have got to be aware of what they're doing into their system. We're writing a book now which will disclose a lot of the people and advertisers who intentionally hide different things in the foods. For instance, people have learned that if you read a label that you have to put the primary ingredient first on the label. And used to, a lot of the breakfast cereals, you'd go through them on the aisles, everything would be sugar first, sugar first, sugar first. All the breakfast cereals, almost all of them. Now what they've done is they've started naming sugar different things. They call it high fructose corn syrup, or they call it, or fructose, or they call it corn syrup solids or corn sweeteners. And what they do is they take the sugar and they get it from two or three different areas, so the total bulk of that one particular sugar isn't the maximum in the box, so they can put sugar down on the label, four or five items. So a person will pick up a box of the flakes or whatever they're picking, and I guess they're pretty flaky foods, aren't they, Tom? That's terrible. And they pick these up, and they see, corn is the first ingredient, or wheat is the first ingredient. And they think, well, I don't even see sugar on this label. This has got to be a good product. But it's not. It has just as much sugar in it as it had had before they relabeled it. And this is one of the deceptive things. So, for instance, a lot of sweet peas, canned sweet peas. You know how they're sweet?
Sugar.
They've got sugar added in the can. And people need to realize that we as American consumers are the only ones who can stop this. We have to stop buying the foods that are loaded with this poison.
Well, how much sugar can our body handle without it being detrimental?
Well, I have that asked very often, and I really believe that our body could consume a 5-pound bag of sugar a year without any problems. And you say, well, that seems like a lot. It really does. When you think about sitting down and eating a 5-pound bag of sugar in 1 year, it seems like you'd be eating a lot of sugar. But people don't realize that in the 1700s, for instance, the average person consumed 4 pounds of sugar a year, which is, healthy. The diabetes and all these things weren't off the board at that time. By 1900, we were up to 10 pounds a year. And then is when the degenerative diseases started in this country, after 1900. 1975, we were up to 125 pounds a year. 1977, 137 pounds a year. In 1982, 150 pounds a year. And the latest statistic is 165 pounds a year for 1986, the average American consumes in sugar, pure sugar. And, you know, I pick up feed all the time for my dogs, and they're 40-pound bags. I can't even imagine somebody eating four of those things solid full of sugar every year, but we do. And then we wonder why we have problems. We wonder why we have weight problems in this country. With a diet consisting primarily of fat, sugar, and salt, it's a wonder more people aren't sick. And it's amazing to me. But that's why programs like this, in which we come out and we tell the country, hey, look, you know, there are things you should and shouldn't do. You know, there are better foods to eat. And as we said before, when we did the show last year, I think first part of this year, when we did it on clean and unclean foods, you know, it doesn't matter what we eat as far as salvation is concerned. In Corinthians, it says all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. But the thing about it is that we need to learn that moderation is the key. Okay, and in next month, we're going to be talking about facts, fads, and fallacies on the program. We're going to be talking about different things that people believe, their sacred cows, so to speak, concerning nutrition, which simply aren't true. And then the following month, we'll be dealing with fasting. And we'll be doing a whole presentation on why it's important to fast, the mechanisms behind fasting, and why it's so urgent that the, you know, and the Bible talks about fasting throughout the whole Bible. And we'll be talking about the spiritual and the physical reasons for fasting.
What exactly does our body do with that sugar, whether it's the right amount or we're overdoing it on sugar? How does our body respond?
Well, what ends up happening in our system, Tom, is that our bodies are not designed to consume 67 teaspoons of sugar a day. I've got a friend of mine the other day. I saw him at the gym, and he's got this huge belly, and he's working out real hard, trying to get back into shape. And I asked him, I said, well, do you consume any soft drinks? He said, about 10 to 15 a day. I said, you're kidding, Johnny. And he said, no, I said, he says, I like the way, you know, soft drinks, you know, how they work. And I said, well, do you realize how bad they are for you? Well, yeah. He says, I know a lot of sugar, you know, may cause diabetes, you know, and he says, but every year I have my doctor check me to make sure I'm not diabetic yet. When I become diabetic, I'll stop drinking it. Well, Tom,
it's too late.
Well, that didn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. And what the system does is, we have irregular blood sugar pattern, which will begin to develop after, you know, a prolonged usage of a large amounts of sugar. You know, some people call it hypoglycemia or hypoadrenocorticism is another term that's used for it. And what it simply is the body loses the ability to regulate the blood sugar levels properly. For instance, if you eat a lot of sugar, it causes an almost instantaneous rise in blood sugar because it's going right into your system. Have you ever seen the shows on TV? I guess I think some of the secular shows have done this, where they'll have a person get up on stage and they'll put like a teaspoon of sugar under his tongue, and they become so weak that their arms and everything else don't even respond properly. Okay, and it's incredible how sugar is such a horrible food to put into our system, pure white refined sugar. But what ends up happening is you ingest large amounts of sugar into your system. The blood sugar has a rapid rise, which gives you almost an immediate boost in energy. Well, what happens is the body has a little thermostat. It's called the pancreas, and it triggers the release of insulin back into the system. The insulin brings the sugar back down to a normal level. Well, people don't realize this is that when you consume large amounts of sugar calories and you have a high blood sugar level in your system, the insulin will secrete into the system. After the insulin has been acted upon, the sugar has been acted upon the insulin, it gets converted in what we call glycogen. And this is the instant reserve fuel for the body. This glycogen is then stored in the liver and the muscles. And what can't be stored as glycogen is then converted into fat. Now, this can be one of the major causes of uncontrollable weight for most people, because what ends up happening is this sugar is converted into glycogen and back into fat, and they don't get the energy from it. But they got the empty calories from it, so that means they're gaining weight. People don't realize that the vicious cycle this is. And the thing that I always stress to people, and this is something that I've learned from the spiritual warfare ministries, is that, you know, we don't realize how many things are controlled by demon thoughts. And how many Christians can have a demon, not being demon-possessed, but have a demon hassling them inside. And we don't realize that, you know, Satan does not want us to be healthy. Satan does not want this message being taught this morning. Okay, he doesn't want me telling people about all the hidden dangers of sugar, because he knows that if he can keep God's people sick, it's very hard to worship. You know, if a person, for instance, has this condition over a long period of time, what ends up happening is the liver stops releasing the glycogen properly. And the actual, you know, you stop getting I'm trying not to be technical, Tom. Okay, as I trip over my tongue. the blood sugar would be acted upon by the insulin, and the blood sugar will actually begin to drop too low. And when the blood sugar gets too low, we have what we call a hypoglycemic. Okay? And any type of pastries or cakes or candy will, again, trigger this hypoglycemic reaction. There may be a momentary rise in blood sugar, followed almost immediately by a secondary rise in the blood insulin, which will bring the sugar back down. So a hypoglycemic stays irritable all the time. Because when your blood sugar is low, people don't realize it. You don't feel good. You're tired all the time. And many people, you know, they'll come in and talk to me for nutritional counseling, and they'll say, I'm tired all the time. I can't believe how tired I am. I mean, I can sleep 24 hours a day. I mean, I'm always tired. Other symptoms of hyperinsulinism or hypoglycemia are fear, headaches, chronic fatigue, narcolepsy, personality changes, heart irregularities, bad temper, self-pity, dizziness, faintness, exhaustion, irritability, nervousness, inner trembling, mental confusion, indecision, allergic reactions, a lowered sex drive, poor vision, weakness, depression, insomnia, chronic anxiety, drowsiness, crying spells, phobias, and sweating. In addition, you can have very extreme sensitivity to loud noises. Somebody may drop something in the kitchen, you may start crying and screaming.
All because of sugar.
All because of sugar. It's because what happens when that blood sugar goes too low, not enough oxygen is getting to the brain, and the brain starts getting fuzzy. People come up to me and they say, I feel like I'm always in a cloud. I feel fuzzy all the time. And people don't realize how many people have these problems with hypoglycemia. For instance, if the American Diabetes Association is bold enough to make a statement that in 15 years or by the year 2000, 100% of the populations will have symptoms of diabetes or be diabetic. That's scary because, you see, hypoglycemia is almost always a precursor to diabetes. And we have to learn that the refined foods, the dead foods that we consume so many times in our diet, are not the healthiest foods to eat.
It's 10:19. You're listening to Feedback in our monthly segment with Ted Brower. We're talking this morning about America's sweet tooth and the dangers of a high sugar intake. And we'll be opening our phone lines during the second half of the program, so we've still got about 10 minutes before that mid-program break. What about for children? You were talking about sweetened cereals earlier on, and that is one of the areas that gets a lot of media attention, all of the sugar-coated cereals for kids. Is there a special danger there that our children develop that sweet tooth so early on and just get adapted to it?
Well, I believe so, Tom, and we see it so many times in our office. We had a gal come in the other day again for some training and for some educational stuff that we provide in our office, and she was talking to me, and she had two kids with her, and the kids were bouncing off the walls. I mean, they would have done laps on my walls if I would have let them. They were jumping up and down on the furniture. They were yelling and screaming. They were fighting. They were hitting each other. It was very, very bad. And the one little girl was sitting in my office with her mother, and she just decides she's going to prop her feet up on my desk. I mean, she was that hyper. And so I looked at the little girl and said, could you take your feet off my desk? Thank you. And I started thinking, there's something wrong with these kids' diet. The kids, unless there's an unbelievable discipline problem. And the mother seemed to be, trying to discipline them. Of course, she felt so bad, okay, that a lot of times it's hard to discipline your kids when you feel really bad. So I asked her, I said, well, ma'am, I said, can I ask you a question? I said, do your children drink soft drinks? And she goes, well, of course they drink soft drinks. All kids drink soft drinks. And I said, well, excuse me, I don't mean to get you upset or anything. I said, do you mind, letting me know how many? Well, I don't know, 3 or 4 a day? Well, that's 40 to 50 teaspoons of sugar a day that little 5-year-old's putting into his body. Not to mention all the other foods that he's putting into his body. And I said, well, ma'am, you might want to consider reducing their consumption of soft drink and giving them water or something to drink other than, just pure sugar drinks like that. She goes, don't lecture me. I thought, wow. And because, what it was, she knew what she was doing was not correct. She knew that what she was doing was not providing good nourishment for her children. But, Tom, it was convenient. It was convenient to mix these things up and to feed them these sugar, this unbelievable amount. And it goes back to a thing. We have a lot of people come through our office. And the people who listen to us and, when they change their diets and they get off the processed foods, they have really, really good results. But a lot of people, they can't do it. Here's why. They go home and their wife is negative. What do you mean don't eat swine flesh? Or what do you mean cut out on sugar? What are you talking about? That sounds like some kind of fanaticism. Sugar's good for you. Gives you energy. Well, there it goes. Then the conflict begins. And a lot of times either a husband or a wife does not wish to have a conflict with the spouse or the kids. Okay, they don't. They come home from work. They just want peace in the house, and they don't want to be hassled by it. So many times, even though they know what's correct, and Hosea says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." Well, all of the people listening to the show this morning now have the knowledge that refined sugar is no good, but they still don't want to make the changes because it's outside of their comfort zone, so to speak. A lot of times, when we first become Christians, there are many things in our life we don't want to give up because they're comfortable. And we have to realize that, you know, it's important that we do everything we can to help build God's temple and not tear it down.
Any suggestions on how you handle that if you want to avoid conflict?
My wife is working with me now on the Wednesday night classes that we're teaching at First Assembly here on Main Street in the Annex. And we teach those classes every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock here in Lakeland. We've been doing that now for almost 2 years. And this next week, in fact, tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about heart disease. And we've got a whole bunch of dissected human organs. We've got hearts and livers. Now, Tom, let me finish here before you get upset. Okay, I know every time I get on here, you get an upset stomach. Okay, I know
that. You have to do this before lunch, don't you?
But we don't have the actual organs. We have pictures of them in slide presentation form. And we will show people what excessive amounts of sugar and salt and fat will do to the cardiovascular system. We have dissected arteries. And we'll show them the destruction. I mean, right here in vivid color. Now, it's not real graphic. It's not nauseating or anything. But what it does, it makes people realize and it convicts a lot of people of what it actually does to the inside of the body. Yes, there are suggestions. We suggest that the people who are really seriously interested in changing their diets start attending the Wednesday night seminars that we have. My wife will be working with them. She talks about new food preparation. I'll be trying to get her to do at least half the seminars with me from now on. You know, I'll do one week and she'll do one the following week, in which we'll be doing different programs to teach people how to eat properly. So many times people have come to the seminars and they said, "Well, Ted, you've told us everything that's bad, but now you haven't told us anything that's good, and we don't know what to do." Well, we've realized that's been a problem, and the reason that's a problem is I don't do the cooking in our house. I tell my wife how we're supposed to eat, and bless her heart, she is so talented. She will just put together everything the way it's supposed to be, and it tastes really good. And see, another thing we have to realize is that don't try to change your family overnight.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
How do you change eating habits that you may have had for decades?
Well, there are certain things you can cut out. For instance, let me read you some brand names here and how much sugar they have in them. A high C orange drink, an 8-ounce glass has 5 teaspoons of sugar. People don't realize it. You know, a Coke, 12 ounces, has 10 teaspoons of sugar. Tang, 8 ounces, 8 teaspoons of sugar. The thing that we need to do to start with is we need to become aware of the foods and stuff that we need to eliminate out of our diet. Another thing, sugar frosted flakes, 8 ounces, has 16 teaspoons of sugar. I mean, it's unreal how much sugar is in some of these breakfast cereals. And so what we have to do is we have to start eliminating them gradually out of the diet. Chances are, if you're consuming 5 gallons of ice cream a week and you're going through 20 boxes of cereal a week and you're eating all the white bread, which a lot of it has sugar in it and all these other things, that if you just all of a sudden decide you're going to buy everything raw and natural for your family, you're going to have an unbelievable rebellion on your hands, and everybody's going to totally freak out. And I used to think, well, because that's kind of the way I am. I'm kind of like, you know, I'm either in or I'm out. You know, our motto on our wall is, if you talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Okay? And so my whole thing is that a lot of times people don't quite fit into that, and they're not quite as disciplined, and they need to work in other areas of their life as far as change, or they simply don't want the conflicts with their family. A wife or a husband may be convicted, but that doesn't mean that their spouse is. And so the way you ease it around, and it's especially easy for women because they're the food preparers and they're the ones who spend the money on the groceries, just start eliminating some of the junk foods. Go to whole wheat bread instead of white bread. Instead of, you know, using the artificial orange drinks, which are loaded with sugar, go to some regular unprocessed, unpasteurized orange juice. Your family probably won't be able to tell the difference. Instead of using iceberg lettuce, which is virtually devoid of nutrients, use some of the other lettuces. There's like 5 different. There's romaine lettuce and, you know, all kinds of different lettuces you can buy, which are much higher in nutrient value. Instead of buying all desserts all the time, start buying more fruit. Okay? And fruit, if it's ripened and it's grown properly, is very, very sweet. And if you do this gradually over a period of time, your family will probably not even notice the transition except for the fact that they start feeling better. And you got to remember, you can't build healthy tissue cells, Tom, off snack cakes, cupcakes, and all these soft drinks. It's impossible to build a healthy body with devitalized nutrients. All you end up doing is getting overweight.
We've had questions in the past about sugar substitutes, whether they're the artificial sweeteners or honey or something like that. Are they any better?
Well, not really. Honey is, now don't get me wrong, as far as artificial. artificial being the sodium saccharin, and the new one, the aspartame, I believe it's called, the NutraSweet. You know, we all know, and it's been shown conclusively through many, many years of research, that, you know, the cyclamates in the 70s caused cancer. They've shown that the saccharin causes cancer. In fact, the FDA tried to get it off the market a few years ago, and the public had such a revolt that they had to leave it on. The NutraSweet. There's many consumer advocates right now who are trying to get it off the market because they're linking it to brain chemistry disorders, which we told you that 7 months ago. Now they're finally starting to see it, and they're linking it to epileptic seizures. And so they're saying it's doing all kinds of blood chemistry imbalances in the brain. The best thing to do is, as you already mentioned, start substituting other types of sweeteners. And you start using a little bit of honey or blackstrap molasses or even corn syrup is better than straight sugar. Anything to help slow down the absorption of sugar into the bloodstream, which is going to cause this insulin curve. The average American, it amazes me, Tom, they'll get up in the morning. Okay, this is the average American, and many of you folks listening right now, you're going to fit right into this little ball of wax. You just pay attention here for a second. You get up in the morning, and the reason I say that with such conviction is I used to fit into it, Tom. I used to drink 18 cups of coffee a day. Every day, I used to pour saccharin into all of it. I used to do all of these things. I used to eat the devitalized nutrients in the junk food. I mean, that's why at the age of 25, my body was falling apart. I had allergies and all these problems, and I was overweight. Since I've changed my diet, I've lost 40 pounds. Now, notice I didn't say since I went on a diet. I've never gone on a diet to lose the weight. I changed my diet. I eliminated the high-fat foods, the devitalized nutrients, and the high-salt foods. And my weight came off by itself without even having to watch a calorie. But the average American gets up in the morning at 8 o'clock. Blood sugar's low. They don't feel good. They're unhealthy. They get up in the morning. I used to be this way. Don't talk to me until I've had my 6 cups of coffee for breakfast. That's how I used to be. Don't talk to me, Tom, because I was the grump. You know, I prided myself. I'd tell people, don't talk to me in the morning, because I knew that, you know, how my body chemistry was. I knew how bad I felt. And I felt really bad in the morning without my caffeine stimulant. Caffeine's, you know, it's a drug. We talked about that last month. I'd have my coffee. I'd eat my devitalized breakfast. You know, by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I started feeling great. My blood sugar was sky high. But then guess what happened? Just like we told you a few minutes ago, my sugar goes sky high. But then around 9:30 or 10 in the morning, I had so much insulin being released because of the unbelievable influx of sugar into my system. Let me explain something to you also. When you drink caffeine, it stimulates the adrenals to release glycogen from the liver, and it pushes the blood sugar even higher. That's what the caffeine does. That's why you get almost an instantaneous lift from it. But my blood sugar would be so high by 9:30 in the morning that the insulin would dump into my system. And by 10 o'clock, I felt terrible. I was sleepy. I was sluggish. I was sometimes dizzy. I didn't feel good. I had all these symptoms that I read to you a few minutes ago, and I began to realize, hey, there's something wrong here. So you know what I do?
Had more coffee.
I had more coffee. I'd go out and have more coffee. I'd go get some donuts, you know, and this is what we do in most offices.
You go through the cycle all over
10
again.
10 o'clock. So by noon, all of a sudden, your blood sugar's high. You eat again a little bit lunch. It, you know, keeps it going, keeps it hyped up. You know, have some syrup with some pancakes for lunch, more dead foods, more devitalized nutrients. Boy, by 2 o'clock, guess what happened? Boom, rock bottom again. All that insulin had dumped in and brought my blood sugar way too low. I felt terrible. I remember times my head would actually nod off and I'd almost go to sleep at my desk. I felt that bad. And many of you now are listening and you are relating to exactly what I'm saying. And I would think, well, guess what time it is? It's break time. Guess what we do? Back up again. Go get some more donuts, some more snack cakes, some more coffee. Sky high again. Now, what would happen is you get so hyped up by the end of the afternoon, you got off work, you haven't had your insulin flush yet, you haven't gotten down. And what the world does is they take off the happy hour. They're so wired up on the sugar that they have to come down. And they go and get, you know, they go get their booze, which lowers their sensitivity to things, and they relax. A lot of other people, what they do is they get home at night and they crash on the couch at 6 o'clock. And they sleep on the couch until it's time to go to bed because they're so tired. People don't realize, and we're going to talk about this when it comes to the importance of fasting. When you stop taking these drugs into your system, the sugar and the caffeine and all these things that we've spoken about, when you stop taking them into your system and you start feeling really bad, that's because that's how you really feel, without the stimulants. And you say, well, there's no way I feel that bad. Well, chances are you do. That's why so many people can't fast, or they don't think they can, because they get off their coffee one morning and they think the world's coming to an end. I used to be the same way. Even when I fasted, I would always have my coffee throughout the day, just so I wouldn't get a headache.
We're going to come back to that. We're halfway through this morning's program. It's 10:32. You're listening to Feedback. We're talking with Ted Brewer this morning about America's sweet tooth and the dangers of high sugar intake. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, the Lord.
Bless you. I have found a road to peace.
Well, great. What do you do?
through the meditation.
And what do you meditations on? Anything?
Usually I meditate in the back of a pickup truck at the 55 minutes. This is crazy.
I understand, but Jesus said if you really think on him, he's the real peace in life. You see, nothing else can provide real peace. If you'll stay your mind on Jesus, you'll be at real peace. Trust him today.
It's still 10:32. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of Feedback, and we're now opening up our phone lines. If you have a question or a comment relating to sugar intake, America's sweet tooth, that's our topic this morning, and the number to call is 858-3805. If you don't mind, let us know where you're calling in from. Where does moderation fit into all of this? We've talked about do's and don'ts. What about concerns for just being moderate in your intake?
Well, as we've mentioned before, you know, it's not what you do from Christmas to New Year's that hurts you. It's what you do from New Year's to Christmas that does you in. And people need to realize that, in fact, one of the authors here, Cecilia Rosenfeld, who's a medical doctor, writes that one of the prime causes of marital discord is nutritional deficiency. And many times it is overlooked. In her practice, she found that a surprising number of, quote, broken marriage spouses suffered from a blood sugar imbalance. Many of these husbands and wives showed symptoms of irritability, violent temper, abnormal sensitivity, and extreme fatigue. Corrective nutritional guidance dispelled these unpleasant symptoms for many spouses, and in the process often bolstered up their crumbling marriages. I had a woman one time on a talk show say to me, well, Ted, what you do to your body doesn't make any difference if it doesn't cause someone else to sin. You know, you can do what you want. You can do everything you want to your system. It doesn't make any difference, which in a real broad spectrum is might have a little bit of truth in it. But we have to realize that if we're doing things to our system, which is going to cause us to have all these unbelievable violent temper attacks, irritability attacks, screaming and yelling at our spouse attacks because of our diet, then that spouse has a right to say to you, hey, look, you know, honey, I think that, you know, you might need to cut back on some of this food because I think this could be a cause of some of the marital problems that we're having. And you see, this is where it plays such a critical role that people, well, you can't tell somebody else what to do. Well, you know, when you get married to somebody and you know they're intentionally abusing themselves and causing themselves to be ill and you're having to reap the consequences of their actions, I think a lot of times that, you know, we have a right, you know, to request of our spouse that, hey, perhaps you need to, you know, to cut back on some of these things. And it's just moderation, again, you know, and Pastor Strader is so good in all this when he talks about moderation in all things. It's just moderation is the key. You know, I was in church the other day, and when Pastor was speaking, and he was talking about all the different things of the Spirit, and I started thinking, wow, this is, you know, really neat. And it suddenly came upon me, and I was taking notes during the sermon, that it doesn't matter what we eat as far as salvation. And in actual sense, salvation is much more important than what we eat. Because salvation is for eternity. True? You know, but, and so, you know, so many times, you know, we have people who become total fanatics as far as their diet. Now, some people say, well, Ted, you sound like a fanatic. Well, that's okay. But, you know, but they lose the spiritual end of it. And they totally become self-centered with their body, which isn't good either. Because to save souls is our primary purpose here on earth. This is why we're here. And to be good stewards of God. And, you know, to go to heaven and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we need to realize that our bodies are God's temple while we're on this earth. And it may not be directly related to salvation, but why in the world be sick and have all these problems of degenerative disease and have to ask God for divine healing when you could just obey a few of the natural laws and walk in divine health? Nothing to do with salvation, but it's simply a healthier way to live.
It's 25 before 11. Let's go to the phones and see what the listeners think. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I'm calling from Winter Haven. And my question is, what about diet soft drinks and will it cause diabetes and also the NutraSweet? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. We've already addressed the issue concerning diet soft drinks with NutraSweet and saccharin. Our advice is not to take them. And as we've mentioned before, many types of, you know, claims have been made concerning these, but now many consumer groups, including Ralph Nader's group, is going against NutraSweet, trying to have it pulled off the market because he's saying he's linking it directly to epileptic seizures and brain chemistry deviation. In fact, one of the New England Journal of Medicine's articles that we read here one time also said that many pediatricians advised pregnant women not to use NutraSweet or that drug at all because it would cause brain chemistry deviation in the unborn infant. Now, if this thing is that strong and does things like that, it kind of makes sense we should avoid it. As far as diabetes, you know, that's a medical term. We really don't get into that very much on this show. But as far as having a blood sugar imbalance, if you consume something that doesn't have sugar in it, it's going to be pretty hard to do that. But then you go into the show that we talked about last month and all the different things as far as free radicals and toxins in the environment, which if you want to get a copy of that tape, you can write to WCIA and they'll be happy to send you that one. But thank you so much for your call.
What about just the high sugar intake? If it's so dangerous, why aren't we hearing more about that? We heard about the high fiber diet after President Reagan had his intestinal cancer operation. Why aren't we hearing more from the medical community about the dangers of high sugar intake?
Well, you know, we have to realize, Tom, that the medical community as a whole, you know, is pretty busy with what they're doing in the treatment of disease. And doctors, I'm afraid that we've required too much from them. And see, this is one of the this is one of my little pet peeves that I get upset with, is because people are always tending to try to crucify the doctor. Well, the doctor didn't know this. How in the world is anybody supposed to know everything concerning human metabolism and the physiological functions of the endocrine system and everything else in the human body? It is impossible. My specialty and what I do is nutrition, period. That's all I do. I don't have any. That's why when we start getting into medical areas as far as diagnosing disease, I am not licensed to do that, and I won't do that, because that is the doctor's responsibility. But so many times we expect so much from the doctor. You know, how many years does it take to go to school anyhow for medical doctors? I know doctors who've gone to school for 14 years of, you know, formal post high school graduate, education. And, you know, and still they have a narrow area in which they specialize, because the human body is that intricate. And so we need to realize that the responsibility of each individual does not rest upon their medical doctor. As I heard an old Baptist preacher say one time, Tom, every pot sits on its own bottom. Everybody's health is their own responsibility. If you continue to feed your family high amounts of processed foods and you have health problems in your family, that is not, okay, the doctor's fault. And for you to go to the doctor and expect instant relief by taking a shot or taking medication and masking and treating symptoms, there's a problem there. You know, we need to realize that one of the biggest problems, you know, with tooth decay in this country is because of the sugar consumption that we can, you know, we have in our diets. And, you know, and again, and you say, well, why haven't we heard more about it as far as from the manufacturers? Processed food is an unbelievably big business in this country. You can't whip a U-turn with a Queen Mary, I heard somebody once say. You've got to nudge this thing around. Our whole economy is sort of geared in that fashion. You know, the fast food restaurant chains, the junk food. For 30 years, our whole economy has been headed in this direction. We can't just expect the advertisers to switch it overnight, even though many of them know the dangers. But if they switched it overnight, what would happen to their total sales? They'd drop to nothing. They would put themselves out of business by promoting this. Many times, you know, we've talked about this with a lot of, you know, dairy consumption, a lot of high-fat foods. You know, there was a bulletin that was put out by the FDA 10 years ago, which talked about ways to cut down on degenerative disease and how to eliminate fat out of your diet. Well, that thing was pulled off the market. We have to remember, these food groups and these food companies have tremendous lobbying ability with the United States government. You know, they say, hey, if you don't do such and such, we've got this huge mill over here, this huge plant that houses and supplies, you know, jobs for 150,000 people in this big city of 1 million people. And if you don't change this, we can see ourselves going out of business within the next 2 to 3 years, and you're going to have all this unemployment. We see, and we hate to think that we live in a society that would do that, that would intentionally jeopardize its own public safety and its own public health in order to promote a product.
It comes down to money.
You're exactly right. It's the world. And see, the book that we're writing is going to talk about that. It's going to talk about how Christians as a whole need to learn that we can't be of the world. We can't be like the world. We have to remember that we are a chosen people, and that we need to come ye out from among them and be different, be separate from the world. You know, the Jews were a chosen people. They lived healthy. They had incredible, great lives as long as they followed a lot of the natural laws. And a lot of it had to do with their nutritional needs.
Let's go back to the phone. We have 18 minutes left. Go ahead, please. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm calling from Lakeland, and I was wondering if you do crave sweet things, what alternatives could you suggest in addition to fruits? And also, if you find yourself feeling tired, like you were describing earlier in the show, what are some of the immediate things that you could do to change your diet in addition to eliminating the sugar as much as possible? And I'll hang up and let you answer.
Okay, thank you. That's an excellent question. See, what happens is when you get yourself into a situation in which you have a blood sugar imbalance, and your system is so geared to eating high amounts of sugar over a long period of time, many of the processed carbohydrates and processed snack cakes and foods that you probably consume on a regular basis, which along with a lot of other Americans consume, these are the things that trigger this blood insulin curve, which drops the sugar even lower. So again, as we mentioned earlier, you may have a momentary relief and the blood sugar may come up for a few moments. But what ends up happening is the insulin takes back over and the blood sugar drops back down. So you actually aggravate the condition and make it worse. Hypoinsulinism or hyperinsulinism is what ends up happening is the body continues to produce large amounts of insulin over an extended period of time, and the blood sugar begins to stay low constantly. So you always feel bad. This is a very delicate subject to talk about and to address because everybody's body's chemistry is most of the time different. There are many diets which are good, healthy diets, which would be the fruit and the vegetables and the whole grains and the unprocessed foods, which you could go on and gradually start increasing these amounts into your system. Now, we do have an information packet which talks about general nutrition needs and stuff that we'll be telling you a little bit about later on in the show. But the thing that you need to learn to do is to start to eliminate slowly the things that in your diet that are causing you to have this blood sugar curve. And one of the things that a typical approach to handling a problem with blood sugar is to tell a person, well, stop eating the high sugar foods and start going to high protein, high fat foods. Well, that will probably take care of it, but there's a problem with that, and it's an inherent problem, which is as well educated as this radio audience is, and by now I'm sure that many times we've talked about heart disease. If you have a high fat, high protein diet over a long period of time, you know, with high salt, you're going to end up with a lot of problems as far as your cardiovascular disease. So really, you kind of rob from Peter to pay Paul using that approach, even though that may offer a temporarily, you know, relief there as far as the blood sugar curve. But I feel for you, ma'am, and I know how you feel because I used to have the exact same problem because anytime your body gets accustomed to that much sugar in it at once and the blood sugar starts dropping down, it's very frustrating because you feel so bad. All you want to do is sleep, and you're irritable, and you're cranky, and your husband comes in and says, "How you doing, honey? Don't you talk to me like that?" And, you know, and it's just anything will set it off. And so I suggest that you simply, you know, write for the information packet. And if you'd like, the classes we offer at First Assembly on Wednesday night are part of our ministry. They're totally free. You can start coming to the classes and start learning how to change your dietary habits. And again, that's at First Assembly on Main Street at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock every Wednesday night.
All right, 15 now before 11. We'll go back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. I have a question. I can really relate to what he's saying. I, like about 6 years ago, was having all these symptoms, and I would get like the shakes really bad, and I was always feeling dizzy, and they put me through a bunch of tests, and they were telling me I had like brain tests, brain scans, EEGs, and all that. But they never did find out anything that was wrong, but I do right now have like the heart palpitations, and even today I will get very lightheaded, dizzy, and like a shortness of breath and things. Is that all related?
Well, the things that you've just mentioned are the exact same things that I read out when we first started as far as the problems associated with, you know, a blood sugar imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what I suggest you to do is just to go ahead and start attending. And I know some people it's not practical for them to do this because, you know, you may be calling from Braden and I don't know.
Nope, Newport Richie.
Newport Richie. No, same thing, okay, as far as driving every Wednesday night to the class.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have an information packet which has several different tapes in it and some information booklets which you can write and get from our office.
Mm-hmm.
Our address is 3009 West Highway 92,
mm-hmm.
Winter Haven, Florida. And make it attention to NCS. Now, there is a cost on the information packet, and we'll let you know what that is when you call us.
Mm-hmm.
And our phone number is area code 813-956-2733.
Mm-hmm.
I repeat that. The phone number again is area code 813-956-2733.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate what you're going through because it's a very frustrating situation to be in.
I went on that diet that they had for the hypoglycemia.
Uh-huh.
And after about 3 days, my husband ended up rushing me to the hospital, and I spent 4 hours in there with an IV. They told me I was dehydrated and had malnutrition. Does that make sense?
Well, you've got to remember, ma'am, I am not a medical doctor, and as far as, you know, my whole thing is prevention, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we try to urge people to do is to avoid the problems that you're having by changing their dietary habits early enough. And not having to hassle with trying to get things cured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we've already said before, I would much rather walk in divine health than have to experience divine healing. Not
right.
that there's anything wrong with divine healing, because divine healing is very, very prevalent in today's world as far as in our Christian community, especially, you know, at our church here in Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
And I just urge you, if any way possible, you know, to go ahead and get the information packet, get some information out of that. And then if you want to come in for a corrective diet and to learn more about, you know, metabolic physiology and stuff and take some of the classes we offer at our office, I highly recommend that you do that also.
Okay.
And so just go ahead and give our office a call, and we'll be happy to send you the information.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. It's 13 before 11. Phone lines are still open this morning. If you don't mind, let us know where you're calling in from. 858-3805 is the number to call. Go ahead, please.
Hello, I'm calling from the Brandon area, and my children have this hypo problem, have been for some time, but didn't come to light until last spring how serious it was, when we've been trying to control our children's diet, and I thought they were doing real well, and I gave the children on a Sunday afternoon one scoop of ice cream, and I thought they were going to go through the roof. It was just, they were so uncontrollable. So we've changed our diet just about total now. But the problem I have is that my grocery bill has almost doubled. What can we as consumers do about the cost of natural foods such as bread and that? Because by the time you buy for a large family, anything you buy that is natural, they take out all the sugar and out all the, take all the artificial stuff out, and they raise the price.
Well, they don't really raise the price. It costs much more to process, you know, a product like that and keep it natural. And for instance, we have bread that we make available to our people who come in, and we have to have it. It arrives frozen, and the reason the cost is so high on it is that, you know, you've got to, as soon as it's manufactured, you know, it has to be frozen immediately. Within 2 days, it spoils and is molded. I mean, there's no preservatives, no additives, no sugar, no nothing in it. And see, when you process a product like this, it makes it much more expensive to deliver it to the final consumer. Now, what we have to do as a nation is we have to speak out more loudly to the people who are manufacturing, who have the facilities to manufacture high-quality products and get them to us more efficiently. A lot of the white bread manufacturers, all they have to do is change their ingredients. They can make the same product that we're buying at the health food stores and buy it much more cheaply. Okay, and so this is the key, and this is what we're urging you to do, is to start telling people, hey, look, you know, talk to the manager at the grocery store and say, hey, look, you know, I want you to get some health food bread in here. I want you to get, you know, start making the manufacturers realize that, you know, the American people have had enough, and that the degenerative conditions, and especially we as Christians, you know, we have the temple of the Holy Spirit here. I mean, you know, we need to be the ones who are totally aware of health and proper nutrition. And that's the book that I'm going to be writing. It's going to be talking about that in detail as far as the responsibility that we have as believers.
Well, for my family, for myself, is more than anything, it's more of a necessity. Health food is not one of these things that I just choose to do.
It's not an option for you.
No, I'm an asthmatic, and that's part of all the artificial preservatives and all that. They figure it is probably part of my problem, and since I've been going on more natural foods, my asthma is practically eliminated. I haven't had any problems.
Well,
and so it's more of a necessity, and when you have to go to these health food stores and buy for three or four kids as well as two adults, it gets very expensive after a while.
Well, you know, I had one of the meetings that we did here. It was a radio show. It was one of the last shows we did with you, Tom. Somebody called in, and I think it was the last show we did, and they said, you know, we were talking about all the things that were cancer-causing in the environment, and one of the callers called in, and bless her heart, I know where she was coming from, but she said, what a hassle. This is a hassle. Everything's bad. I mean, I just soon forget about it and just eat what I'm eating and, you know, bear the consequences. And I don't think she realized when she said that what she really said. For instance, heart disease, diabetes, and cancer is a hassle.
I mean, you've got to live with it.
You better believe it. You know, it is a hassle. You know, asthma is a hassle. You know, it's a lot easier to avoid these hassles and not have to deal with them by eating properly to begin with. And this is what people need to realize. What I suggest that you do, ma'am, is that you start coming to the Wednesday night class, because Brandon's not that far from our church here, and you start taking the classes and learning more about nutrition and how to cut this food cost. We've got many different things that you can do as far as eliminating certain meats and stuff out of your diet, which will lower your food bill considerably. We've had people come to our office many times, and they've said to us, Ted, the diet that you've placed us on, that you suggested that we get on, is much, much better than what we were on, and we're spending 30% less on our food than we were. And see, and so that's what we need to realize is that, like, perhaps maybe not you, but a lot of other people, you know, there are certain things that you can do as far as proper combining of, you know, grains and vegetables and all these other things, which will help you to get complete proteins, and which you can cut a lot of the meats out, which are, and, you know, and the kosher meats and the other types of meats are expensive. You know, they are really expensive. And so that's what I suggest you do, ma'am, is to go ahead and, you know, you write for the information packet if you'd like. You learn some more from that. And then if that interests you, you can go ahead and you can start coming to the Wednesday night classes at First Assembly.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
We have just 8 minutes left in this morning's program, but the phone lines are still open at 858-3805. Go ahead, please.
Hello. I'm calling from Tampa, and I have a couple of questions. I was wondering, first of all, about frozen foods, either the vegetables or the dinners, if they are good to eat. And another thing, if your office has made up any type of a cookbook.
We do have an excellent cookbook that we recommend to people that is available through our office. Now, as far as frozen foods, I think it's 85% of the nutrient levels in frozen foods have been destroyed. Nutrient levels, primarily we're talking about active enzymes and vitamins, okay? As far as most of the minerals there, they remain relatively intact because you really can't freeze rock and hurt it, okay? So the minerals are pretty much there, but the vitamins and the natural enzymes are pretty much destroyed. An instance, the American Medical Association released a study here a few years ago which talked about frozen concentrated orange juice, and they said that by the time it got to your table and you thought you were giving your family vitamin C, that almost all the vitamin C was gone. It was virtually devoid of vitamin C. But how many of us as supposedly, you know, responsible parents go out and buy this orange juice every day for our children and produce, you know, give it to them, and they're not getting the vitamin C that we think they should? We don't get the artificial imitation orange drinks, which are junk, as we know. We go ahead and get the concentrate, and it's almost as bad. And it's just, I know it's frustrating. Again, the information packet, you can call our office up and get information on that. It's area code 813-956-2733, and we'll be happy to send you some information. There is a cost on it, however, and so, you know, we'll have to get you to send a check to NCS. And the address is 3009 West Highway 92, Winter Haven, Florida.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. We're down to 6 minutes left in the program. We'll go right back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I'm calling from Tampa, and I have been on a so-called diet for quite a while. And I want to know, how long does it actually take to get all of that sugar addiction out of your body? Because I was seriously, seriously addicted to sugar. I mean, I crave ice cream, chocolate, all kinds of things. And I don't have the energy that I want. I mean, I go home from work and I just drop. I mean, I'm ready for bed at 6 o'clock at night. And it causes problems between my husband and I because he's worked all day and he's not ready for bed at 6 o'clock at night. And I want to know, how long will it take for this to get out of my system to where I can start feeling like everybody else?
You don't want to feel good. You just want to feel like everybody else. I know exactly what you're going through, ma'am. And, again, I appreciate your phone call this morning. But each person is individual. And I see you may think you're on a good diet. I don't know. So many times people come to our office and they think, well, I'm on this great diet. And I look at it and I say, this diet's terrible for your particular, you know, body chemistry. And I suggest to them, you know, through the educational programs and stuff that we offer, that they can go ahead and change these things and change their diets, you know, according to what they need. So many times fasting will help. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of months. And, you know, but you got to be very careful, because if you've got a problem with the blood sugar imbalance and you start fasting, you need to not be driving your car and everything, because your blood sugar may go too low.
Well, I've gone on the diet very intelligently, I think. I've just been eating fruits, vegetables, chicken and fish and things like that I feel that are very good for me. And I just still do not have that energy back that I need. And I just was curious to how long it might take.
Well, again, we have people come in the office and in 2 weeks they feel great. Sometimes it takes 2 months. Sometimes it takes 6 months.
Well, I'll keep at it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks
so much.
Calling. We have 4 minutes left in the program. We'll go right back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
I'm calling from North Tampa, and I'm in response to the lady that called and said she can't afford to buy the right things. Our church in Tampa organizes like a food co-op, and every 2 weeks on Saturday morning, people pool their $10. And two people go down and shop at the farmer's market, and you can get, for $10, so much food that you just can't eat it all in 2 weeks. And it's all vegetables and eggs and things like that that are real good for you. And you might suggest to that lady that she organize something in her church where they can collectively shop at farmers market and buy in bulk.
That's true. We have a really good farmers market right here, a couple of them right here in Polk County, I guess, because there's a lot of farming areas around here, and that's where we buy our vegetables. In fact, I went in, and you're exactly right, I went in there on Sunday after church, and I bought bags. I came out with two big, huge bagfuls of vegetables, and it was $10.
Right.
Vegetables and fruit. It was incredible. And the thing about it is, a lot of times the vegetables and fruits that we buy in the large grocery stores and the chain food markets, they've been so processed and so sprayed with all kinds of stuff that they're pretty toxic to eat anyhow.
Yeah.
And so it's better to try to get the fresh and natural vegetables, and they're much, much cheaper and much higher quality.
Well, the more people that you can get together to pool your money, the better deals you can make with these people selling the vegetables. That's why I suggested maybe getting several people together to do it. And you can also, if you can't make it 1 week, other people can go down and shop for you. So if you're in a large group, you can always get this constant supply of fresh fruit and vegetables.
I really appreciate your suggestion and your call and stuff, and we'll certainly keep that in mind. Perhaps somebody can call me up in the area who might be interested in doing that. And thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
We have just 2 minutes left. We'll take one last call this morning. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling from Largo. And a girl at work told me, because I have a problem with, I'm not really too sure with what it is, but I bruise very, very easily. And so she told me, well, start eating more wheat, nuts, and grains. So I started doing that. I've been eating, like, some sunflower seeds and stuff because they say there's so much protein in there. And I've been drinking tea instead of, like, sodas and such. And I've been eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, but I'm so hungry all the time. And the bruising has gone down, but I find myself getting really tired. And as a matter of fact, I had to stay home from work today because I just felt so run down.
Well, many times what causes this, and we teach this in our training classes with metabolic physiology, and this may be a class you might be interested in taking. If a person's system becomes too acid and their pHs aren't digesting their foods properly, they'll have a tendency to bruise very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be your problem. Now, I don't know, and, unless, we were to come in and, do some metabolic profiles and stuff. So what you could always do is call our office and get the information packet mm-hmm. from us and then look at it, see if it's something you might be interested in. But we have a lot of people come in with bruising problems, and it's pretty easily taken care of. So, again, the number is area code 813-956-2733. Now, we do have a Bradenton office that you can call, and you can refer them back for the information packet also. And the number down there is area code 813-758-7494. Again, the Bradenton number is area code 813-758-7494.
We appreciate your call this morning.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And unfortunately, that is all the time we have for phone calls this morning. In 30 seconds or less, any closing comments on sugar intake?
Well, again, sugar, Tom, is a problem that's primarily just the United States. The European countries, they don't have these problems because they've since learned that the refined foods are not healthy, and many times they practice much more preventive health care than we do in this country. Again, we urge all of you who are interested to attend the class tomorrow night, and we'll be talking specifically on heart disease and fat consumption, and then the following we'll be talking about fasting. And these are educational programs that we offer free of charge to First Assembly here in Lakeland, so you can attend these, or you can call our office at area code 813-956-2733. That's 956-2733. And thank you so much,
You've
Tom.
Been listening to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Unless otherwise stated during today's program, cassette copies of the broadcast are available at a minimal cost by writing Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenter's Way, Lakeland, 33809. Be certain to mention today's date when writing. The address again, Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenter's Way, Lakeland, 33809. Opinions expressed on Feedback are not necessarily those of WCIE.
Stay tuned for news on FM 91.